turn off the porn step.
That's awesome. Just yeah. Turn off. So I listen to in a foot.
Nah. Nah, because that just makes that rhythm you've got going.
Yeah.
So, right, the iPad will work as our
knowledge based tablet.
Aye, our lack of knowledge.
Yeah. Our tone.
Funky hampers.
Who's been looking at that shit? You?
No, this will be looking for birthday presents, I guess.
That was the annoying thing. I went on my gran's iPad and she left a bank fucking home.
You know, it's, at least it's bank and not like she picks up your iPad and finds porn.
Wank.
Says, I didn't think Andrew was with the wank bank. The spank bank.
What is this bank? Why have I never heard of it? What's the interest rates in spank bank?
You know, I'm fucking overdraft in spank bank. right.
They empty your account. Within 30 seconds. Time to make a deposit at this
Hello and welcome to Podcast on Fire 148. So, of course, you are listening to the dulcet Scottish tones of Stu and Andy.
Aye.
See? We all say the same thing.
I need haggis.
Neeps and tatties.
I'm such a man. The women get the toys.
So, today we will be discussing Pang Ho Chung's Dream Home from 2010. Our thoughts, belated thoughts on the Man of Steel trailer and The Hobbit. So yes, the first film we will be talking about is Pang Ho Chung's, also known as Edmund Pan's Dream Home, starring Josie Ho. And all his films usually have like a twisted nature to them. Mm-hmm. This time it is, I guess, in the tale of a slasher movie that comes into the credits. Or is that just the ending?
That's
the ending. Right.
You just took the ending.
That's the part we will
edit.
Aye. 3:30. We could wipe that bit. Mm. And also, well, actually.
Oh, fucking hell.
See, this might be a different thing in the sense that, I don't know, like our conversation flow might be different in the sense that we're in the same room and like almost fucking like a meter, not even a meter, but we're face to face, so
yeah,
I don't know.
Smell each other's breaths.
I don't know whether I should be staring at the microphone or I should be staring at Andrew as I talk to him. So
I'm probably got a fucking mic.
So
you
I feel like
look me in the eye.
I feel like if I talk to the mic, I'm talking to the audience, and I feel fine at that. But then maybe I should look at you occasionally, and I want to look at you and startle you. So right,
what are you looking at?
Aye, you go, you talk.
I think I'm what to say.
So
you're the talk.
So we should. That's the elephant out of the room, letting people know.
Aye.
We're in the same room, we're trying.
We're actually friends.
Aye.
Don't just randomly call a stranger and talk to them about films.
Mm-hmm. He says, you don't know anything. It's bro, right, aye. Let's go.
I'll just take the piss at this stranger and leave.
So, let's see. The plot to Dream Home is pretty straightforward.
Yep.
Women has a obsession with getting herself an apartment with a harbour view, but obviously all of the apartments with harbour views in Hong Kong are extortionate.
Extortionate priced.
Mm-hmm.
Where you get all the details and the fucking
stuff. Aye, the opening credits, the kind of
knowledge on you.
Mm-hmm, they set you up, letting you know that ever since the handover in 1997-98, pay people's income has increased 1%, whereas like the housing market has went up 15%.
Aye.
So getting an apartment with a sea view is obviously extortionate. So yeah. Our lead actress Josie Ho plays the role of Cheng Lai Sheng, and she's essentially working her life away to get the money together to get this apartment.
Two jobs.
Mm-hmm. And
shocking.
It's just the sense that it's fucking, it's a hard knock life.
Yeah.
And basically, it's a good area. It's a, I guess it's a fucking fancy building. It's really expensive. Like, only the upper class or filthy rich get to live there.
Yeah.
So, when it being in that higher area, because it wasn't an amazing looking apartment. It was, it just looked like any normal other place. It's just the fucking location that is set up so high. So, she's basically driven to the point where she's now murdering the other tenants in the building.
To drive the price down.
Yes. So, it does mention in the opening scene that, based on true story, I'm not sure how true it comes across, but obviously...
Basically, because she's Hillary Renner. wait, what's it?
Was that an ending bit?
Ah, yeah.
So, yes.
Fuck.
We could... I'll edit that.
Faster.
But, I think the thing that comes out of this is it's listed as a black comedy, but horror. It's
a hard thing to categorise because it's no scary.
I think it's described as maybe I
would call it an intense thriller.
It's,
with a lot of gore.
It's one of the, like, a check-in had classed it as a slasher. So it's kind of, because she doesn't just run a bit with a knife hacking into people. It's quite a creative and dark way on killing each victim. Like, in the opening scenes, she kills off the security guard with, like, a cable tie around his neck.
Yeah.
And that drives, obviously, he's in a mad
desperation
panic.
Desperation to try and get a breath,
he cuts his own throat.
Cuts his own throat trying to cut the cable tie off his neck.
So, it has that, like, she's creative in her killing. Yeah. There's a later scene involving, like, a Hoover bag.
Hoover bag?
The bag that you...
It's never called. Is it called Hoover bag? Not
the
bag
one you put
in
the Hoover, but like the bag you
storage bags.
Aye.
You use the Hoover,
use the Hoover to take all the air out. Aye, so one of them's put to
vacuum
good use.
Bags.
Aye, normal household appliances get flung in the mix. Irons, golf clubs. not normal.
The floor.
Okay, maybe, but. I guess it's just what you kind of would expect for Pang Ho Chung. Like, this is the director of You Shoot, I Shoot, which was one of his first directed film. And that was like a camera crew following a serial killer.
Mm.
Or, I might be butchering that one, but it was a thing where basically somebody was committing the murders and they had somebody there to film it. So almost, I think they were contract killers, and to have the proof, they would have like an amateur director following them. So that was that one. And again, dark comedies. So, and the big noble one was Men Suddenly in Black in 2003, when it was the four guys going to cheating on their wives. Eric San, Jordan Chan, I think one of the guys was like a canto pop guy called Spirit Blue.
Fucking
like, names you can never, like, there's never going to be a fucking Golden Horse Award going to fucking Spirit Blue.
Yeah.
Or there's an actress called Angela Baby, and that's one word.
Angela Baby.
Yes, that's the name. Angela Baby.
Yeah.
So she's not being set up for a Best Actress Award anytime soon with a name like that.
Nope. You have to get an English name if you want to fucking get an award.
Aye, or at least fucking have a surname, like Angela Baby Chow.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's a shit.
So, he does do then generally dark comedies, and like he's not done a bad one yet. His other noble film was AV, like the students doing the porno with the Japanese porn star.
Yeah.
Exodus was what? Basically the story of what women talk about when they're in the bathroom. Like how women all go to the toilet together on nights out. They all actually are planning the deaths of their husbands.
And he was coming back smiling.
Aye.
Never
so,
came away.
Then this is bastards. What they alluded to in that film, that they're all planning on how to kill their husbands.
Soft.
Trivial Matters is what I explained earlier, the multiple, like something like 12 different stories all pieced together. And then it was Dream Home. Since then, he has directed films such as Love and the Puff, which is a romantic comedy about the smoking ban. Then the sequel, Love and the Buff, which I think is just a straight-on sequel that I guess this couple...
They're allowed to smoke now, so they just get naked.
Could be. I think it's the only difference I got from the from a brief look at it was I was now set in the mainland instead of Hong Kong. That is the crashed out pussycat.
And the pussycat phone.
Oh yeah, my phone's lighting up. That could be. I thought it's not as a look. Sleeping cat.
Look, sleeping pussycat.
See, I guess that's another thing. We're going to be easily distracted now if something happens.
We could slowly describe what your house looks like.
And one of his films from last year, Vulgaria, is getting a UK release this year through Third Window Films.
What, on DVD or...?
DVD and Blu-ray.
And Blu-ray.
Aye. And it's supposed to be quite good. It's... the Hong Kong movie database doesn't have a plot up front, but... That doesn't look like it's been reviewed either.
So it looks quite good, but I can't tell you how good
I have seen the trailer, and it does look quite amusing. It's, again, I think it's got something to do with porn.
Oh, yay.
Like, I'm not sure if it's the behind the scenes of porn, where it's the guys that's producing the porn.
Just the men getting men hard.
The sloppy, sloppy job of a fluffer.
Yeah.
No.
I wonder what kind of pay they get.
No, well, they do get paid in the mouth.
They get paid in seeds.
And it looks like he does have something scheduled to come out this year called Women Who Know How to Flirt Are the Luckiest. So,
they come up with a mere catchy title.
Although the literal title is Spoiled Women Best Life.
That's a bit better.
No, it's not. That's broken English. Spoiled Women Best Life.
Well, it makes it seem more Asian.
And so far, it's just got the director. It's been set in the People's Republic of China, with the Mandarin language.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, not really any details on that one at the moment, but...
What about IMDb, or does that not bother Asians?
It does, but I do think it's... Usually Hong Kong Movie Database is the one
is
to go
that
for.
Is that number one? Like?
That's definitely the one, when you're looking up your films, you could get all your cast details.
Yeah.
Good with that, so...
Whereas IMDb, does that only show the one that's head west...
It'll have most, but probably not all, or... And it's just limited details, because there's not really anyone providing any information for that one.
Yeah.
But, let's see, back to Dream Home, let's see. Other than the lead actress, Josie Ho, we do have appearances from Eason Chan, known for his roles in The Pie Dog, Enter the Phoenix.
Aye.
Crazy in the City as well, which was one of his best ones from what I've seen. Josie Ho's father is played by Norman Chu, Big Nose, I think was his nickname in the back.
Big Nose,
I'm not sure how they would get that, but I think he was always kind of known as Big Nose. Like Sam was always known as Fatty.
Yeah.
And Lankaryan was. Lankaryan? I don't know. One of them was Beardy. Aye. So, basically, I guess we can't go into the story anymore without kind of spoiling it.
Yeah.
Basically, woman wants a dream home, too expensive, goes on a killing spree to drive down the price.
Yeah.
What was your thought?
I thought it was pretty good. A bit sick, some of the ways they killed some of the victims.
It's definitely sinister. It's some of it's, like, amusing. The kind of, there's some funny ways.
Yeah.
Some people that just don't seem to die. They're just sitting there holding their intestines going,
That's the crack.
Aye. So, like, there's that. And then there's, like, there is, like, the one we mentioned earlier with the storage bags.
Yeah.
Is, I think, like, the most sinister
the
one. That, that's where you feel like, the guy, well, I think he is a guy for pushing it. Like, likes to push the envelope, as they say. So it does go that extra mile just to fucking, I'm sure for what true events this was inspired. I don't know if it was just talking about the fucking price of houses, if that's what the true part is, or if someone did actually go on the killing spree.
Yeah, we've not actually bothered to look up.
we don't need, like, this. We're just going for unresearched opinion.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into much detail.
Cloud our judgment.
Aye. But, aye, like, the original killer wasn't that creative, just took a gun.
That's a bored movie. Let's switch up.
It was pretty crazy. It has its black comedy effect to it, where it's like, sure, this woman's doing a sloppy job, her blood's probably over the crime scene, like, she should be caught. It's like, it's not a serious film. It's none that you need to, continuity, like, she should be limping for, like, all her injuries, but she's walking away fine, so I don't think it is to be taken too seriously. I think he probably is wanting it to be looked at as a comedy, but
hard to laugh at some of the bits.
It's pretty dark. I think I'd put it, I described it as, I think I've forgotten. It was
something undescribable.
It was sex, something, and buckets of blood.
Sex, something.
I was going to say gore, but I guess gore would go along with the buckets of blood.
Sex.
There is notable amount of nudity, a couple of sex scenes.
Man on the side, something didn't cause.
Aye, so yeah, essentially that. So it does have it does kind of tackle a few dark subjects, but definitely I think it's just par for the course for Pang Ho Chung. I reckon what was good. I'm reading it backwards. I think that's just another fucking string to his bow. Like, he's done his slasher film now, so now he's going to move on to his next project. But I liked it. It might not have like a big rewatch thing to it. It might just be in the sense that I need to show the guys this movie because it's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
Like, I think you were saying we kind of exaggerated it a little. I think it's just because it was really violent.
You got a shock to it. Real big shock value.
Aye, it was like, oh, this is a mere extreme than I thought, because it's just a quiet wee woman.
It's like in some American films where that kind of stuff happens. They usually cut away and then cut back to them when they're dead.
Aye.
But in this, they show you the struggle for life.
Aye. Sometimes the camera lingers a little bit too long. It's like, cut away. Yeah. Why? Don't zoom in there. So there is, but other, it's not just like filming this woman going on a killing spree. It does do like that, as you said, like the American style of, it starts off with her killing the night guard, then it flashes back to her daily life, and then actually flashes back to her childhood, and then gives you a view on her obsession with this. The apartments with the sea view. It showed you her fucking her life struggle and the poverty and
folk chucking water snakes in a letterbox.
Aye, just the fucking drive. Well, I guess you would cry a double entendre. So
what?
There we go. That's the iPad talking to us.
Oh, yeah.
But, it does come together as a good movie.
Yeah. This works.
So, I would definitely suggest renting it. And this is one of these things where I'm not saying you're going to have to go on Yes Asia and import yourself a copy of it. It does actually have a UK release.
Yeah.
I am currently hogging the Love Film copy of the movie.
Yeah.
I will return it. It got a release through network DVD releases, I'm not too sure if they were the guys that done the UK release of Protégé, which was the Daniel Wu, Andy Lau triad movie, which was a remake of a Steven Soderbergh movie. I think it's called Traffic. I'm not 100%, but it was just to do with basically drugs and undercover cops being put into the drugs trade and all that. So I'd definitely suggest renting it.
Alright.
I'd probably
suggest buying it as know.
Yeah, that's the thing, with it being one of those load... Well, yeah, you could probably get off Amazon, Play.com. You could source it easily enough.
Yeah.
But if you are, like, a wee bit weary of, yeah, like, how fucking dark this movie's taken, it might be a bit too much for some people.
Yeah,
but, yeah, I liked it, but I would put it down as a rent. You would suggest buying it? Test the water first.
Aye, rent it first. It doesn't... to me, if I'm buying a DVD, it has to get features and stuff as well.
So. Aye, this does leave you with a 10-15 minute interview with Josie Ho, and she's speaking English in this one. I think the film got a lot of press when it got over here. It was part of the Film Forwards Fright Fest, so like their summer horror movie festival. So that was playing in like the West End, a midnight screening,
yeah,
in like one of the big Odeon cinemas and all that. So I think that got a lot of attention then. It got its movie quotes where they quoted it as Friday the 13th meets location, location, location. So that's it, digging in with his UK references, trying to make it work to its UK market.
Yeah.
And I think it did get a limited UK cinema run in November that year. Aye, so
yeah.
I think that sometimes that's the deal for films to get their UK releases. They need to get a little cinema time.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a way to get the distributor on your side.
Yeah.
And saying, we want to release your film on DVD. And say, well, I think that's the tipping point if you give it a little cinema run. But doing cinema runs with fucking Asian cinema,
yeah,
is difficult. It's
very hard, so.
The odds are stacked against you. Like, The Raid was the success story last year.
Yeah.
Because... it was just like, I guess a couple of years ago it would have been the Tony Jaa thing. It was just this brutal on-screen action thing,
yeah,
that was just hard-hitting action movie that I guess doesn't need no fucking goes beyond, yeah, translation. You don't bother about the language, yeah, as long as somebody's getting kneed in the face.
Storyline's not important. It's all about the
fucking, exactly. It says one man versus a fucking building.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, all right. He's not doing flying knees to Harold Walls, but there is people in the building. That's game over. Actually, doing a flying knee to a fucking Harold Walls. Right, Wall wins.
Yeah. Oh. Next fucking hour and a half, just him getting killed out of hospital.
Hi, him on a mobile phone.
Stones can remove his knee.
the thought of it. So. I guess that's really summed up Dream Home. And after this short break, you will now be on to our verdict of Man of Steel.
Yeah. So bad.
Holy cat. I went to say holy Christ, but my cat was underneath me eating cables.
Holy cat.
I was just sitting, I just noticed my cable just twitching, and I looked and just seen black, like his eyes staring up at me. So,
what we're going with first?
We could talk Superman.
Yeah.
Then Hobbit.
That's cool, isn't it? Okay. You got the pot and shit up in front of you, because I'll need like reminders. Like, you talk about something, then I'll pop it in my head and I'll remember it.
I've got 11
Costner's a dick.
Basically, the Man of Steel trailer analysis, what did we learn? So it's 11 slides.
Cool.
So, I'm gonna let my cat out the room.
Let him out or pull him out?
No, he's wanting it, but it's all tangled in cables. Alright then, go.
Fuck off.
Oh, come on. Don't go all limp on. Oh, just rolls over and plays dead now. Now he's licking his foot, looking at me. Agile bastard. So, at the time of this recording, the first full-length trailer for Zack Snyder's Man of Steel, and obviously the Superman movie, has been released, and with the suspense that has been building up around it, like the teaser trailer gave us the impression that he just joined the Deadliest Catch team. Wasn't really being that super.
And then he got bored and just flew away.
Yeah, essentially. Like, fuck you and your king crab.
I had that bastard crab pinch my ass for the last time.
That was his fucking instant reaction, was just going supersonic. Off ship and so it was your typical teaser, like not really revealing anything.
Mm-hmm.
But this new trailer was pretty much full on. It was introduced like a lot of elements. Looks like they are going down a origin story route. Like it's a condensing like 10 seasons of Smallville into 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's doing like the Spider-Man thing of it's a gift and a curse.
Yeah.
Where
oh, his dad a bit, basically.
Yes. his human adoptive father, is it Kevin Costner?
Kevin Costner.
Yes, where he saved the school bus of children that went off a bridge and he basically lifted the bus out from the looks of it. And it was Kevin Costner saying maybe to protect his identity he should have just let the kids drown. But
yeah, oh, sure.
That is like the thing I've heard most people comment about was like, oh, Clark's father would never suggest the death of children.
Mm-hmm.
But like the dude was, it wasn't like he was really, he's like, oh man, we should have killed them. Come on, it would be cool. Like of course the guy was a bit torn to say it. It's like, well, if it's going to protect my son, it's like, basically, he would choose his son over a bus full of children.
Yeah.
So, it was kind of in the sense that the thing that fathers would do, most likely.
Hmm, I suppose.
So, it does, like, part of me, I was going to say, like, most things people should be fed up of origin stories now, but I think it's just because we've got the Spider-Man one that much, and Superman, we've never really had it.
No, they've never done a origins. Mm-hmm. Well, since the first one.
Aye. And like that was in the 70s.
Yeah, and so I suppose Smallville could be
Smallville is like a giant origin story, but I guess that would make sense if they took on the Smallville actor for Man of Steel, but
There was rumours for that, I suppose.
Oh yeah, there were plenty of fucking rumours for that. I bet that he's I bet he hoped that would've that call and card would've came through.
That boy's not got a job again.
Nah.
Make an Iron Man.
This Cillian Murphy's stunt double. I used to be Superman. So other things that have been pointed out in the trailer, I am taking cues tonight from the ScreenRant.com's Superman Man of Steel discussion, well, trailer analysis as they cry it. Mm-hmm. So there's brief glimpses of a Fortress of Solitude.
Alright.
That is just like,
oh no, I never noticed cave. The Fortress of Solitude, I just noticed them standing in the Arctic.
Yes.
Didn't they notice, either where didn't they notice the Fortress of Solitude?
Mm-hmm. This is, well, I think this is just their interpretation. Like, he, as he was walking out and then is prepared for liftoff, he was in some sort of ice cave.
Yeah.
So, I think that's what people are clinging to. Mm-hmm. But, I had to say, like, watching the trailer from that point to the, like, basically him preparing for a liftoff, I still wasn't convinced. It's like, right, okay, this happens. Superman saves the children, right? I would expect that. That's nothing out of the ordinary. But
yeah,
it was just that moment where, like, the curl up fists on the snow, yeah, and like the dust that seems to be.
This made me think of fucking Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, right, before they went all super,
right,
shiny and gold.
Yeah, basically.
Like, it was like that moment, and there was the great music cues where just like this tension's building. Then he just fucking shoots off into the sky, like through the clouds at like a supersonic speed. And it was like this great, I was gonna say orchestra music, but it was like people singing as he shot through the sky.
A choir,
yeah. Let's go for that one.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. So it did that, like, kind of have the little hair in the back of the neck moment going, oh, like, it just had a wee epic feel to it.
Yeah.
Like, it just looked badass. and then it's like a full-on war for the rest of the trailer. Like, you're introduced to General Zod's,
mm-hmm.
like, Boardwalk Empire's Michael Shannon just appearing now, like, that's him revealed, and it shows you, like, a spaceship, like, landing on the farm, like, the Kent farm, so it looks like shit's getting personal to begin with, like, there. It could lead to Kevin Costner regretting those words, like, Zod would probably kill him. Say, who would kill school children?
Me.
So, like, it does just look like it's just some real tense moments coming through with Zod arriving, like that great moment where I'm guessing it's probably still General Zod, but it's Superman flying down a building and Zod flying up.
Mm-hmm.
And it just collides. So there's all these, like, just quick cuts of action. And one thing they did mention was the fall of Krypton, where it was like the scenes of a futuristic city blowing up.
With chubby Russell Crowe.
Yes. Which, for a second, I was like, now isn't he supposed to be the father? But I forget, this is like his alien parents.
He's Marlon Brando.
Because this is when Superman, is it Kal-El? Kal-El?
Yeah.
So this is like when it's him and all the other.
His dad's Jor-El, I think.
Aye. And basically Russell Crowe's doing the little Moses thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like kissing the baby, putting him in the basket, and firing him into space. So, like, it does just seem like it's just filled with so much fucking awesome looking moments. We even get that great shot of where he's Superman in the full super gear, so to say. Like, he gets thrown into a bank vault, and of course it's like one of those fucking unbreakable banks. Like, it is a bank vault, and he gets thrown into it and it just fucking caves in around him. It just looks like a badass moment. And what at the end of the trailer gives you, well, it shows you clearly see Superman in handcuffs at some moments. And there's a still photo that I've got in front of me now where it is Superman holding hands with Lois Lane, and they're surrounded by the army with tanks aimed at them. So it basically just like, I guess they must just be treating him as an alien.
Aye, it must be before they came that he's good.
Aye.
After they automatically assume he's going to be a threat to the world, so they're going to try and kill him.
And that, it, like, that could just, it's just the things, like, I just need to know what happens. Like, fast forward to June.
June? July. Oh, fuck. I thought it was going to be like February or so.
No. Man of Steel. It is 14th of June.
Oh, boys. Fuck.
Like, don't give us such a fucking awesome trailer so soon.
Aye.
We were wanting to see this stuff, like, but it's just like, oh, really? So far? But it's still, like, it is shrouded with mystery still. So, like, it has turned it from, I'd see it at some point to, I kind of want to see it on day one now.
Yeah.
Or at least opening weekend.
And then the next trailer will make you have to say you have to see it in 3D IMAX.
3D, oh, Jesus.
No.
Oh. Well, this is coming out of the same studio that produced the Dark Knight trilogy. So, obviously, this is coming out with a serious tone. This is no Superman Returns. Which, like, his, like, forever gotten, like, a bad reputation to it because it was done as a follow-on film to Superman 4, Quest for Peace.
And then it comes back.
Like, a film that I didn't know existed. So, like, I thought it finished with, like, Richard Pryor, but obviously they've done another one. So, like, it just, I guess that is your equivalent of your shiny commercial Superman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Man of Steel, it is. It's essentially the Dark Knight treatment.
Yeah, and they'll try to save the fucking...
It's the same studio, they're not calling him Superman, they're not calling him Batman, yeah. They've got the other name,
his alter.
The Dark Knight, the Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is giving it serious tones. It's not, it's almost just saying this is not a superhero movie.
Yeah.
It's easy to say that with, the Dark Knight things, because they weren't superheroes. They were just, billionaires in costumes. Fighting, Bane. Essentially. So, but obviously, Superman is, the flying alien that's fucking... is healed by Earth's yellow sun, and it is definitely, undeniably a superhero movie, but they've just, they do the thing where they make it awesome and serious.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so, 14th of June.
Can that's too long. What films do we have to keep us going?
Exactly, we are given Iron Man 3 in April.
Yes.
So that is a good, basically if we're meth heads, that is enough to kind of, a wee taster to keep us going till the next big thing.
Yeah.
But it is, I have to say, out of things I need to see, Man of Steel has overtaken Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a more well done looking film, trailers at least. The film could be so wrong. I don't want to get so hyped up on a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it is deceiving.
Again, I'll never do that since fucking Valhalla Rising. The worst film I've ever seen in my life. The trailer looks awesome.
Moving on. So, yes, we saw The Hobbit.
We did.
And I have to say, it was actually good.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. I feel it was a little more interesting than Lord of the Rings. I was going to say, there's not as much characters, although the cast consists of 14 dwarves.
No. They can any of their names.
I know, it's...
Only can the prince... That's your comedy.
Thorin Oakenshield.
And then the fucking folk that aren't the dwarves.
Aye, Bilbo and Gandalf.
Yeah, that's all.
Mm-hmm. It is easy enough to do the names, because they're all Ori, Nori, Philly, mm-hmm. Killy. They're all... Billy and Oren, Boren. They're all near enough identical names. But if you had to put the name to the person, you're so it's even fucking IMDb is confused.
Uh-huh.
I was on there after seeing the film, I was looking at up all the actors, just basically doing the comparison of what they were like before going under all the heavy makeup, and there was this one character that they tagged two different actors on, and it was just him. He was the only dwarf in the picture, but they had how we were convinced the dwarves were Scottish to begin with. The first two actors are Scottish. One for Glasgow. And both of them were linked on IMDb as this one person.
Were they?
Aye. Basically the first dwarf that came in, the one with the tattoos over the head.
Aye.
They had two different actors credited as him. But there were two different characters in the movie. So, it's definitely, only hardcore fans will easily say, oh, come on, you kind of get your Oris and your Noris mixed up, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And in your club ring now.
And they'll try and beat you with the fucking Lord of the Rings ring on it.
So, But it was definitely it was good because I've done the direction of like I've read the book first, which I do say on often enough that I do the opposite. Everyone says the books are better than the movies, So I tend to watch the movies first and then read the book if I want to get more out of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So for things like Life of Pi and Cloud Atlas, I'm not going near the books until I've seen the movies.
Yeah.
But when I found out The Hobbit was going to be 3 films instead of 2, I felt like I'm not going to wait 3 years to see how this ends. I just need to read this now. And it always just blew my mind for the fact that Lord of the Rings made sense. 3 books, 3 movies.
Yeah.
Hobbit, 1 book, 3 movies.
But do you think about it though? If they made The Hobbit before Lord of the Rings, how much films do you think there would have been in The Lord of the Rings? Do you think they would have made each book into 3 films?
I think it would take the piss if they'd done it any other way. I think if Lord of the Rings was done nowadays, maybe Return of the King would have got the Harry Potter Twilight treatment of splitting that into 2 movies.
Yeah.
Like Fellowship, I'm sure that is your introduction movie. Mm-hmm. That would easily be your 1. 2 would be your big war movie. 3 would be your ending. But I guess if it had to be done nowadays, you'd still have Fellowship of the Ring as part 1.
Yeah.
2 Towers would probably be the 2 movies, but it would probably comprise of 2 Towers and the first half of Return of the King. And then the 4th movie would be the second half of Return to the King. Or Return of the King.
See, I would think there would be 5. I think they would keep the first book is 1 film, the second book is 2, and then the third book is 2. That's what I think they would have done.
Hmm.
No factual information about that, like, but I just think they're greedy and that's what they'll be.
But, what was Peter Jackson's excuse for this third movie that he'd shot so much footage?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just couldn't part with the footage, so he just had to basically turn it, like, expand it into a third movie.
Yeah.
And, like, I realise that now that it is, I could see how they're doing this in the 3 movies, because there is these fabricated storylines in the first one
that
were never in the book. Like, you're obvious, your whole introduction of Bilbo and Frodo preparing for a party.
Aye.
That is, as you'd expect, that is like your easily made up storyline right there.
Yeah.
Where they've just given Elijah
Wood something to do.
Aye, to give him a payday.
Aye.
And I'm sure, Orlando Bloom, I think he
wasn't in that one.
Aye, he wasn't in that one, but I think he is supposedly being brought in for the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm under the impression that, well, obviously, you've got your story of like the dwarves being driven out from underneath the mountain, and they're basically looked for help from the king of elves.
Yeah,
and they had their back turned on them. Orlando Bloom's character, that Legolas, is the son of the elven king.
Oh,
I think that's. The lore is, like, basically that's his connection in it, so he could probably appear in the story at some point, just, like, when they folk, like, the elves do have a big part later on, and obviously I think that might be where he sort of shows up, because obviously it's done in the sense that what we're seeing, Frodo and Bilbo preparing for a party, this, I think, is still a prequel to Lord of the Rings. Like, Frodo's not been on his journey yet.
No, what I think it is, because at the start of the Lord of the Rings were they no Henna Pitty, and then that's why Gandalf came to get the ring.
Aye.
So I think that at the very end of the last film, it'll be the start of the Lord of the Rings.
Aye, yeah. Aye, because that, I'm pretty sure at the beginning of The Lord of the Rings, he actually finishes his book of The Hobbit.
Yeah.
So, there is, and of course, at the beginning of The Hobbit, he starts writing his adventures down, and then it does the, like, fades into, like, part one, The Unexpected Journey, and then it's that full-on story from there.
Yeah.
And, I have to say, it was good, like, for a film that was 2 hours, 40, 50, that.
It kept you going. It made exactly, you weren't looking at your watch.
Aye. It flew
half an hour ago.
Flew in fine. It was well paced and there wasn't any boring bits really.
No.
Like it essentially is what people say is it's a 2 hour movie of people walking. Mm-hmm. But
I would say it's merely a film about all the people running. They were running for the rest of the film because they were getting chased by everything.
Aye, like these dwarves, it's not the cream of the crop, it's not 14 warriors, it's like a couple.
Only two warriors.
Yeah.
The rest of them are all like merchants.
Misfits. There's like a
cooks and stuff.
Big fat ginger one, there's a wee simple-minded ginger one. There's like two overly keen little fighters and like Bilbo's just like they need a hobbit to like they need a thief and hobbits are known for being sneaky. So it does good in the sense like it's like you wonder why they're running in battle if they're all warriors. Like these are essentially fucking guys that are too old to be doing this shit.
Yeah.
Folk that don't know what the fuck they're doing, and so it is a good mixture, and it's sort of like lovable characters as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do know through the book, like a few of them don't make it to the end.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was surprised that all of them survived the first film. Mm-hmm. Like I thought that maybe at the end there would be one person die, like in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
the fucking Sean Bean.
Sean Bean gets killed.
Yeah.
And everyone else lives.
And then they just kind of spurred them on to finish the quest.
Yeah.
I thought that's what was going to happen at the end of this.
Gotta kill the simple one.
Wait,
so
no.
This is for Philly. Wait, is it Kenny?
Gilly.
No.
Gilly.
No, it's Oren. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake. We didn't even know his name. But, I think I'm going to miss it on the next part.
Why?
It's just too much. I done this with Lord of the Rings. I never watched Two Towers until it was like the day before we saw Return of the King.
Like, that's disgusting.
Seen the introduction, fine. Seen the middle, fine. Then seen the finale. Just 3 fucking years.
I know, but doesn't stop you fucking watching the first two the night before you go and watch the third?
Exactly. Like, that's what I want to do. Like, I want to miss out the second one, then watch the first and the second, then go see the third. I don't want to go see the second. So, right, another year! Yeehaw! So, I'm just skipping the second part. Like, I've read the book, and I've kind of... I know what's going to happen, but... It's just... Well, I'm saying all this. The hype might just drag me in again. Like, I was never interested in it to begin with, but from reading the book, it did spark my interest, and the trailers got better, and... Because that was one thing where it was like, So, they're all just singing old fucking seed.
I know, that was a bit weird in the trailer, like didn't it make sense whatsoever?
The book does have quite a lot of songs in it,
like
maybe 4 or 5, and it's usually them singing songs about the situation they're in. Like what you saw in the movie where they're singing a song about Bilbo worried about his dishes being dropped. And, like, they may be shit warriors, but they're fucking skilled culinary fucking
experts. Fingers.
Aye. Fucking an old man could chip some plates if he needs to.
Right.
So, it's definitely, like, well, it is worth seeing. I kind of wish we'd went and saw it in 3D.
Yeah.
but I hear like all the rumours of the Hobbit vomit.
Huh?
If people are going to see the film in its what the true form they're calling 48 frames per second in IMAX and in 3D, it is causing people to throw up. Aye, it is like that fluent and fast and 3D is causing people to throw up. They're saying like way it being that fast and most likely it's probably IMAX, like it is giving people a lot of headaches.
Yeah.
And I guess for the folk that aren't that strong a stomach, and if the headaches just leads them to throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
So the term has been coined Hobbit vomit. So there is the curse of the Hobbit vomit. So seeing it in 2D was fine with me, but
yeah.
I think it seems to have been done really, like obviously you could tell what moments were in 3D, with like the stone giants fighting and the amount of rocks being thrown and
mm-hmm.
So I think I have to admit, like you kind of give in to 3D movies eventually.
Yeah, like, that's the future.
I want to see Jurassic Park 3D. It comes out next year.
And they're remaking it, or is it just
first film just converted?
Remastered.
Aye. And a lot of people, I think, say, oh, it's... I've said it on enough occasions, saying it's got to look like a fucking pop-up book. But films, like, we saw Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
Yeah.
Like, that film was done in 2D, and then they put it through a 3D process.
Oh, where?
Aye. That, like, I was watching the special features and the directors were saying, like, this is, like, people think that's the wrong way of doing it. It should be filmed in 3D for full effect. And says, no, we filmed it and then put it through a 3D process.
Yeah.
And, like, it stood it good. Like, that, you would imagine if they went through the full 3D process. But, like, they're saying you don't need to sit there with all the complex recording equipment and all this to get the true 3D feel.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you just run it through this magical computer and outline what you need done, and it comes out as if good as new, I guess. So, I think Jurassic Park's always, like, I mind seeing that in the pictures when I was wee, when it first came out.
Aye, me too.
And Margaret's got, like, some mad love for Jurassic Park films as well, so...
Mm-hmm.
I think making the effort to go maybe a day trip through to Edinburgh and go see Jurassic Park would be a good one.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So, but yeah, so Hobbit, thumbs up.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. And I've actually noticed, I've been looking at the future cast lists in it.
Yeah.
You know how there's the dragon, Smaug.
Oh.
The dragon that lives in the gold.
Oh, is that called Smaug? I didn't think it was. It was right.
That, yeah. Like, in the books, the dragon talks to the Hobbit. And surprise, sir, fucking surprise, that Benedict Cumberbatch is voicing the dragon.
Oh, what?
The man that has far too much work at the moment.
Aye.
Like, yeah, he just happens to be in Star Trek.
That's it.
Fuck. But, it will have a sort of reunion in the way when Martin Freeman's character meets up with like Benedict Cumberbatch, because essentially they're the guys from the BBC Sherlock.
Oh, I forgot he was fucking.
He was what? Like Martin Watson. Freeman was Watson, and
I forgot that.
Cumberbatch was Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
So it does have that kind of be amusing moment that they're going to be working together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've got quite a lot of scenes together as the film's coming up, between like the conversation between him and the dragon.
What, like a telepathic link or something like that? Or?
No, I think the dragon just write out talks.
Alright, I thought it was going to be something like the dragon was talking to him during their quest.
Telepathically.
And like he was the only one that could hear it kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Nah, this is the world where fucking trees could walk and talk.
Yeah.
So, giving a dragon a voice, isn't he? Too far-fetched, I guess. So, and other than that, Kate from Lost has a part in the next two movies.
Does she?
Mm-hmm.
What's she gonna be like?
Not a fucking clue.
Oh. Thinking what race she's gonna be.
Probably elf. That's usually the thing for most women.
Yeah.
She would need suit a a dwarf.
Oh, you didn't get a dwarf woman. That is wrong. Well, they shouldn't have been on movies.
I mean, how do you have dwarfs then? Like, so many...
They get kept in fucking breeding pens underneath the ground.
So there is some sort of caged woman that once the men are fucking finished...
They're grog.
I was going to say fucking smith and swords. They just turn around and jam their own pork swords. And they're sitting battering hammers at one end, and then they turn around and just sit and thrust a cage.
Aww.
Now I just think they're just doing it to fucking fart, like caged animals.
What? They're fucking animals?
Aye, this is some fucking poor pig.
Maybe that's how dwarves were created. Like, just humans shagging pigs enough until one got pregnant.
I could just imagine, I guess a female dwarf would be the equivalent of, like, a fucking Russian Olympic
weightlifter
thrower.
Like,
the fucking weightlifters.
Yeah.
A Russian weightlifter in the Olympics.
Oh, it'll be someone like wildlife, where it's like, you kind of like Black Widow spiders.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the woman, female, eat the male. Or something like that. That's why they see the women, because they're all fucking gigantic and overpower the men, so they just kill them as soon as they hear them.
True.
Aye.
So it's like, fucking run.
Aye, run away.
I'll see you in 9 months.
That's the beast. That's why they're in cages.
They're just like a little fucking letterbox part for the child to drop out in.
Aye.
I'm giving birth. They just open the little hatch, like a cat flap.
Imagine the size of a dwarf baby.
I know, that would be like a...
be like the size of an iPhone.
What? No, I'd expect a dwarf... I guess they're small.
Yeah, they're like half the size of
a... I guess it would be like a fucking bowling ball.
A bowling ball?
Yes.
I was smaller than a bowling ball when I was born.
I can never imagine them as short people. I just know they're very stout.
No, it's like the same height as fucking Frodo.
Are we thinking Danny DeVito heights?
Maybe. A wee bit shorter than Danny DeVito.
Can't be any shorter than Danny DeVito.
I know.
So. But. Yeah, that was The Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like I'm about to Hobbit vomit the new.
Aww.
Ugh, cold pizza and cold garlic bread.
I just had some wine. I'm about to kill myself.
Wine?
Yes.
I thought
Hela was bringing me some gin, and no, it was wine. I choked it down.
You classy bugger.
Hey, I will never bugger anyone.
You're sitting fucking choking on the sophistication.
I know, I'm as scummy as it gets. I can't take post drinks.
Oh, the oaky aftertaste. Oh.
Yeah, it smells too much like sunshine for me.
No one would ever come up with that term.
I've heard it on the TV.
Just swishing a small glass of sunshine.
Is that not that guy who's, you know, a wine taster, the guy that made brought out his own lines of pasta sauces?
Lloyd Grossman.
Aye, him, the guy that got like killed two bairns with botulism.
What?
Did you not hear about that in the news?
No.
Like, two bairns were eating one of his, I think it was tikka masala sauces.
Mm-hmm.
And they caught botulism fit. They were paralysed. They basically got paralysed for eating his fucking tikka masala.
No. I can, like, usually when eating tikka, you get, like, paralysed for the waist down the next day, but...
They got it full body.
Oh.
They couldn't, it's like basically every muscle in their body shut down. They couldn't move their mouth or anything, or swallow, or...
Yeah.
I know.
Thanks for that.
I'm sorry.
You
brought that up. Okay.
You brought up with your fucking sophistication.
You brought it up with a wine. No, I brought it up with a wine.
Yeah!
Fuck you. I was just starting talking about the end of the world.
What's the end of the world got to do with The Hobbit?
I don't know. But we'll never see the next two films because it's the end of the world.
True.
In 5 days.
There's someone at work that is convinced like they've not bought a single Christmas present yet.
Nah,
because they can. Like, it's not ending. Well, they can, yeah. It will end.
Well, what's the difference? If you did buy them or no, you're not going to have the money to spend.
Unless the
if
person...
If you fucking blow up.
It would only work in the sense that if they just spent all their money.
Like, spent or spent
on the last night,
fucking, like,
they fucking bought heroin and shagged a guy
what?
And then woke up
hope
the next
it,
day.
I hope this is a guy you're talking about.
I'm sure it's a guy, fucking a guy. He just does lots of cocaine, just drops to his knees in a club. And then he wakes up the next day alive and a fucking stomach filled with sperm.
Yeah.
He has to get his stomach pumped.
That would be the worst beer in the world. If
drugs or alcohol.
Sick. Oh, he's sick and it's just sperm. It's like you suck like fucking like 300 guys' dicks.
Got fucking
and he's literally
tattooed on your stomach.
He's literally full of cum.
You just raped your iPhone as well. Your photo gallery's just all dicks. You covered in dicks.
Oh.
It's like you unconscious and you've got like dicks instead of eyebrows.
Oh.
And a dick mustache. A big black dick mustache.
Oh no. Big black
it
dick.
Goes right across the screen and off at the other side. It doesn't actually end. It looks like black masking tape over your mouth.
And then the big UFO in his mouth.
Turned around, it's like a bartender elbow deep in your ass. And he's just doing a self shot with you. Just your arse mounted up in the background.
But oh. It's like a side view, his arm up his ass and he isn't like making him talk like a puppet.
It'd be that thing where it's like he's also aware and he's got his two thumbs up. Like you're actually approving of the situation that you're in.
Yeah.
It's like, oh god. And you realise you've got photo stream on, so it's went to everyone, like your siblings' phones, your home computer.
That only does that with you, you cunt.
Ah well.
Oh.
Well, a sleeping ginger cat. That don't give a fuck. So, I guess that's that.
Yeah.
I'll edit that until it works. Part of me's like, I edit it and I edit out funny stuff.
Yeah.
But it's totally unrelated funny stuff. Like our conversation about an unconscious man covered in dicks. Like that's...
I know, but that's the kind of stuff you listen to at the end of the music.
I guess. It might be a bit strong for even for that.
Just put a fucking parental fucking guidance
like
thing.
If you're
like
offended
you're
by dicks, black dicks, get your picture taken whilst covered in dicks, don't listen. If you're faint of heart.
Yeah. But still, I think it'll be fine.